Welcome to Shepherding Talk, my dad's weekly podcast where he talks about leadership, but he does it through the Bible lens of a shepherd and his sheep. Be ready for engaging interviews, great Bible studies, and lots of practical application on how to be a shepherd leader in today's world, in the home, in the church, and in the community. And now here's my dad, Aaron Kempel.
And welcome to the Shepherding Talk podcast. This is Aaron Kempel. Great to have you sharing this time with us. Today's podcast is part two of my discussion with Benjamin Lee about racism. Please check out our website, shepherdingtalk.com, or wherever you listen to this podcast to find part one of this great conversation with Benjamin. Also, you can check out Benjamin's website, benjaminlee.blog. So here we go with part two.
And so there are going to be some barriers that everybody's going to have to push through. And unfortunately, sometimes that can still hold us back. So evangelism, I think, is key, where we talk to everybody, because the gospel is for everybody.
Right.
And the gospel is for blacks, it's for whites, it's for young, it's for old. And the more we do that, that's how it's just naturally going to happen in our churches, where you're going to see this diversity take place.
You know, I think you mentioned this in our conversation before the podcast of how we, whether we're black or white or any color, have to be careful about looking for something that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe at times it has been there, right? But, you know, not every white person is a racist. Not every white person looks at black people that way in a bad way. There's just a lot of things. You see a couple of black men walking down a street, they're up to no good. Benjamin, is just the reality, like I said, in the culture. And that's so ungodly, right? Because you have prejudged.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
we got to stop looking for things that aren't there.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important with really examining our hearts and really asking ourselves, why do we feel a certain way when we see certain things? Like, I remember there was a black and white couple that came to Dallin Road, a black man and a white woman. And after services, they had mentioned how comfortable they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had visited other churches and they did not feel comfortable. And so even, a question for people to ask, you know, why do we feel uncomfortable, or why do we feel a certain way,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we see a black man with a white woman or a black woman with a white man?
Right.
And from where does that arise? And what is that issue? If we truly believe we're all made in the image of God, you know, that could be something there that we need to investigate in our hearts about, why do I feel this way?
That's right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes that's very challenging, where when it gets really, you know, kind of close to home with certain things like that, that could be an indicator. Okay, maybe there are some things I really need to dive in and ask myself. So that's where some of those biases can come in as well. And so just not assuming, you know, I know this has been the case, I'm sure, for you, as it has been for me, with studying God's word with so many people. I've been blessed to study with everybody.
Right.
And the gospel, right. It truly is for everybody. And just like Paul, there will be times where correction is going to need to be made. Sometimes things are said, and there's a better way to say it and a better way to approach certain things. But we have to be, that's where that patience comes in with one another.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Two things about things that I heard, I never believed it. Just things that I heard taught. People very close to me growing up, people in the church, they didn't believe whites and blacks should marry, because they believed that was a violation of what God said in the Old Testament about not marrying the other nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we could just really just quickly address that. I think it's easy to knock that out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
That God was not... He was not condemning different colors or nations marrying each other. It was about a spiritual thing. It was about religion. It was about marrying people who are idolatrous and having your heart torn away from God. It had nothing to do with marrying someone of a different nation or color of skin.
Yeah, I just talked about that in one of my sermons in Joshua 23. I did a sermon called Cling, where he said in verse number 8, cling to the Lord your God. And then in verse number 12, he said, make sure you don't cling to the rest of these nations and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you. And that's exactly what you just said, right? They would become a snare, a trap, a whip on your sides. And I think that same type of language is used in the book of Ezra as well. And that's what it was all about. It was about that idolatry, about that danger. And from the Jews, the Messiah was going to come. And so that's interesting how even, I think the laws were changed here in America in the 1970s, either 60s or 70s about intermarriage. It's just crazy. But that's a view that, yeah, some brethren have had. And again, those are the things that have to be challenged. Why do you feel this way? I remember talking to another preacher. He had mentioned something too. This was like back in 2000, where there's been this view that blacks don't have souls. And, you know, like, where does this come from? It's not from the scriptures, right? It's not from the word of God at all. And so, unfortunately, the scriptures have been abused to endorse, to support some of the views that are out there. And I've done some sermons on slavery in the Bible, and there's a misunderstanding about that as well. When you look in the Old Testament, and when you look at what Paul said, and, you know, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, Aaron, you can correct me, you know, where he condemns this whole idea about kidnapping and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's totally different than what we see that what took place here in America.
Right.
And so, you know, people just, there has to be a revisiting of the scriptures, books like Philemon.
That's right.
And really the power of the gospel, how the gospel would change, right, the hearts of men in the process of time.
Yeah, as Paul encouraged Philemon to take Onesimus not back as a slave, but as a brother.
That's exactly right.
And that's God's spirit, you know, as we see in the Bible, and the slaves were to be paid and not to be mistreated. And if they're abused and their eye got knocked out, well, they were to be let free, and you know, in 7 years they're let free. So there's all those kind of concepts that God was very mindful of how those servants were treated. Another example of what I heard taught, you know, someone very close to me growing up said that they believe when Cain was given a mark that God made him black. And at the time I was in high school. And I remember asking this person, well, how do you know he didn't make him white? And of course it wasn't received very well, because I was probably a little snarky when I said it. but how do we know he didn't make him white, right? Because we assume, why did you assume black? I mean, that just tells me from the beginning, right? Why did you assume that?
Did they answer?
No, they just, you know, passed it off and went on, because they just had several more things they wanted to say, and you could tell in their heart that they were racist.
Yeah. I don't know if I've heard that one, but again, I think it's reminding us, and this is Mark 7, where Jesus speaks about the things that defile us and come from within. It's a heart issue.
That's right.
That was taught, unfortunately, something that they picked up. And you know, I've had lots of conversations with people, and unfortunately, God's people at times, we are heavily impacted by society.
That's right.
And very much like the warning of Joshua to the people not to cling to these nations. Mm-hmm. You know, in the early 20th century, brethren had a great opportunity to say, look, we're not just going to convert blacks, but we're going to welcome them. And
right.
We don't care what the society has to say. That's where that fear really comes into play, you know? So, that's where we're going to have to be courageous and be pioneers and you know, continue to build bridges and not to build walls. Because unfortunately there are still some thinking that's out there, you know, that can hinder our relationships together.
That's right.
And that can hinder the gospel, and that's just not going
to
work.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, we can go back to the scripture, you know, we can address some of these concepts again, like intermarrying or whatever that might be, and show that the scripture does deal with it. I also, like I said, we have to be able to get out of ourselves. I have to be able to sometimes see things through your eyes. And that means we're going to have to talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
My best friend in high school, Clifford, was black, and you know, he graduated, you know, third in his class. And we were on these academic things together. We brain game, you know, my wife always jokes about and call me a nerd, but we were on this thing on TV. It was a brain game. It was a citywide championship thing. And we were on TV and all that. But Clifford, we're going to an academic thing. I can't even remember what it was, but it was some contest. And we were going down to Martinsville, Indiana. And again, like I said, my world versus his, as we're on the bus going down there, and he recognized that there was some KKK influence down there, and he was very nervous about being on that bus. And so, like, and he tried to be lighthearted about it and, you know, and make jokes about it. But I just remember that, well, it just opened my eyes to, I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain things sometimes that can be easy for certain people not even to really think about. So when I moved to Southeast Texas in 2009, I just was not aware about some of the racial history. So my wife and I, we drove through Jasper. I was not aware of the racial tension there and some of the horrific events that took place there. And as I began doing some preparation for gospel meetings and talking about race, that's where I really learned a lot more, Aaron, and kind of talking about what you just said, being aware and understanding where people are. I remember there was a small town called Lumberton. So after schools were desegregated, there was something called white flight. So many of the whites in Beaumont moved because they weren't happy with the desegregation. So Lumberton, I believe, if I'm correct, used to be like a lumber yard. And so it became a town because it turned into a white flight town. Mm-hmm. And one of my white elders shared that with me. I did not know it. So that still can get in the way with relationships, where I talked to a black sister and I said, hey, if this sister in Lumberton, and I used to do devos all the time in Lumberton, but I said, if this sister invited you to her house for dinner, would you go? And she said, no, I wouldn't. I said, really? Not even if she invited you? She said, no. I said, why not? She's like, well, because they don't really want us there. White people don't want us there. So, you know, I've been to Lumberton quite a bit, right? But her thinking has been, well, she saw all of this happen for years. She said, look, any other place I would go to have lunch with this sister, you know, but that still is stuck with her. So, you know, maybe that's something that she needs to work on more. But I was just trying to understand it because for me, I drove to Lumberton maybe sometimes two or three times a week. So that was never really a problem because I didn't really go through that experience.
Right.
So trying to put myself in her shoes, even as a black man and with her being a black woman, that was something I had to do. I'll tell you another example, you know, of truly trying to understand. I got invites to preach in Vidor, Texas. Mm-hmm. So when I was when I was in a training program, I'd get Sunday nights to go preach anywhere. So the more opportunities I got, the better. So there were some brethren, Christians, who invited me to preach in Vidor. I said, yeah, I'll go. But when some of the black brethren heard about it, they said, you went to Vidor? I said, yeah, what's the problem? They said, well, you know, they used to have like the sundown rules where if you were black, don't be caught outside after sundown, to the point where blacks do not, or not everybody, but many, they won't stop in Vidor because it used to be a big hub for the KKK. In fact, before I deleted my social media accounts, I saw this one tweet. There was going to be a protest in Vidor, Texas, shortly after the George Floyd. So everybody was coming out of the woodwork saying, this is a setup. Do not go to Vidor, Texas. They just want black people to go there so they can get them. Everybody thought this was a setup. Mm. It wasn't. I talked to a sister in Christ who used to live in Vidor, Texas. She shared with me the articles of a young white student. He set up this protest, and it was a legit protest. And they set it up, ironically, where so many of the Klan used to meet in Vidor. And so it was powerful to see that and to hear that, because what do you see? You see a new generation arising saying, yeah, we understand this history here, but we want to stand up and do what's right. So I thought that was just really amazing. So yeah. You know, trying to understand what people are going through and seeing what other people are now doing, understanding, we see what happened with the past and how this has influenced and affected so many people. And so now we want to try to create some change. I think that's really amazing. And just really trying to understand, you know, what people have experienced. I've been pulled over three or four times. I've been guilty all of those times with speeding. Not proud about that. And thankfully, I've never had any issues with the police, but that doesn't take away circumstances that other black individuals have gone through, right?
That's right.
And white individuals, some of the people that I talked to, they've shared some stories with me as well. And I think You know, certainly I support police officers. They have a very difficult job. We have a number of brethren who are in the police force.
Yeah.
And the good police officers are being impacted by the ones who are not acting and serving in the way that they should. So, you know, trying to understand someone else's perspective is so important. And what you were saying about your friend, it's hard to understand why is he afraid of this going to this spot, you know, because he's black. But trying to understand that goes a long way with that dialogue and with that compassion as well.
Yeah, that's part of being, you know, as Paul writes to us about being all things to all men. Mm-hmm. And so when he's with Gentiles, he's trying to be like Gentiles and understand where they're coming from, Jews, you know. So that's and once we do that, then we can move toward healing. If I stay in my silo and in my circle, we can't heal, we can't grow and move forward. Whether that's in a family, you know, leader as a church, wherever that might be, you know, in our community. So one more thing, I've enjoyed this discussion so much. I really appreciate your time. I was thinking about Revelation. And chapter 5 and in verse 9, you know, as they're before Jesus, the Lamb, in Revelation 5 and verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.
Mm. Yeah. Purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue. Yeah.
And if I get that in my heart and you get that in your heart and the rest of, you know, our churches and everybody gets that in their heart, that if I look at you, you, as you mentioned, you are created in the image of God, but you're blood bought.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an inside thing. And so it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, mm-hmm. You're blood bought. Jesus shed his blood for you just as much as he did for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the game changer right there. And viewing people the right way. And, you know, I've talked about this as well. You know, you mentioned it earlier at the podcast, and I know we may have to wrap it up here, but I can't remember the idea of kind of intentions or why people are afraid and things like that. I think sometimes too, people, maybe white brethren or white people as a whole may say, I've heard the phrase, I'm colorblind. Well, it's okay. I mean, you don't have to be colorblind because I don't think truthfully we are. I understand right. The intent behind it. But again, it's celebrating this diversity, you know, with how God has made us. But what you just said, the key is he's purchased us for God with his blood, you know, for every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And so how we truly view people, viewing people, you know, made in the image of God and who we are in Christ, that's what's key.
Yeah, and in that verse, it recognizes that there are tongues and languages and nations.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's right. There's a variety. There's a diversity.
I mean, God, just look at the beauty of nature and how he created such amazing diversity and all of the colors of nature and the beauty and the sounds. Everything was so diverse.
Yeah.
So appreciate that, absolutely. But in the end, if I look at you, I need to see the inside. God does not look at the outside. And
that's right.
1 Samuel 16, verse 7, he looks at the heart.
That's right. Amen. Oh.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. Any final thoughts before we close?
Well, I'm thankful for who our Father in heaven is, and
yes.
I think one final thought, if I can read a passage here real quickly,
yeah. We'll
go back to Acts chapter 10, where Peter said, opening his mouth, Peter said in verse 34, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And we keep that in mind, things will go great.
Beautiful way to close. Thank you, brother. And again, you can visit his material on benjaminlee.blog. Have a wonderful day, brother. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast on Shepherding Talk. And make sure to listen to part one of this conversation on our website, shepherdingtalk.com, or any of the major platforms like Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Every week we will post a new article on leadership, so make sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Thanks for taking of your time to listen, and if you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. May you see today how richly blessed by God you are.